each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Happy Monday to everybody out there. Once again, this is Mike Stark sitting in for Mary Helen Fiorito, who normally sits in for Father Anthony Bush here on Mondays, and listener-supported to be NDZ, 7:50 a.m. Again, I'm Mike Stark, the producer of the Truth and Life Audio Bible, as well as the upcoming Shalom World presentation of Cardinal George's life. We've done a show called The Glorious Life, and it's on Cardinal George's life. And today, as soon as he gets out of the Chicago traffic and into the building, my guest will be Shalom World producer, executive Jerry George. And he's been working at Shalom World now for several years, and he's going to fill you in a little bit more on what Shalom World is all about. But I can just tell you the program we did on Cardinal George's life, they came to me about 2 years ago and asked me if I would be willing to do a documentary on his life because I know a lot of his friends and the people that are important to him. So I did. And it basically took us 11 months to produce with the interviews and then another 2 months of just amazing documentary production where they found different clips of different things in his life, different speeches, different scenes throughout his life from his childhood all the way through his funeral, and reflections from all the different people, including Mary Fiorito and several other people around Chicago that you all know, talking about the Cardinal's life and his importance to Chicago, and basically, more importantly, the importance of Chicago and you, the people of Chicago, to him. His life was really focused on serving the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and he always had it in his heart. He didn't know, obviously, that he was going to come back to Chicago and be the Archbishop, but he grew up here, and you know, God's plans are what God's plans are. I always say, and I heard it from other people, so I'm not quoting myself on this, but if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And there's absolutely no way that he could have foreseen that we'd be the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago. But this program will be aired nationally on television coming up sometime in the fall after a premiere night at the seminary up at Mundelein. And we'll have different opportunities for people to view it in the different vicariates. I'm certain that several of the bishops and the vicariate leaders are going to be, conversing with us as to when we're going to get started showing it. But first things first, we'll be at the seminary sometime in September when the seminarians get back, where we will be talking about picking a date that works for everybody so that the seminarians can see it. And we'll get into that a little bit more with Jerry George, who just walked in. I can see him on the other side of the glass, so he'll be getting mic'd up here shortly, and we'll let him tell you all a little bit about what's going on with Shalom World Television and the wonderful productions they've been doing for, for some time now, and I'm just honored to have him in as my guest. Put your headphones on. Let's get going, buddy. You're late. Naughty, naughty. So to everybody, I would like to introduce Jerry George. Jerry, glad you finally made it. I said, get here early. You always want me to be early.
I just had a horrible traffic. I thought it would take only 35 minutes, but it took almost an hour.
And the dog ate your homework. So welcome back. I know you just got in on the red eye from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry lives down in Texas and commutes to Chicago several times a month. And like I said before he got here, I was saying all this good stuff about him. Now I'm going to pick on him a little bit for being late and messing up the show. But we're okay. It was only a couple minutes, so we'll cut him some slack. Did you bring the donuts?
No, I forgot.
No donuts. Darn it. Okay, well, whatever. The rookies have to bring the donuts. I learned that in the NFL.
You didn't tell me that.
So, Jer, how long have you been with Shalom World?
Almost 10 years now. As a full-time employee, I've been working with Shalom for 5 years now. But I was volunteering for the ministry for almost 10 years. Before that, 5 years. So total together, 10 years.
And why did you decide to do this?
It's a long story, but I can tell you.
We've got an hour.
I was born and raised in India, and I came here to study my master's. I came here, did my master's in one of the university in Pennsylvania, then started working as a computer. Master's in the environmental health and science. Then I started working as an industrial hygienist, they call it, environmental scientist or something. Then I didn't like it much, so I switched to computer programming, something that was really fascinating to me. Then I started working as a programmer. That's when the ministry came from India to this country in 2005 and 2006. That time, then I went and attended a conference. Then it was a very powerful conference. They were talking about the evangelization, you know, reaching out to people, bringing the gospel to ordinary people and things like that. I'm sitting with my wife and I'm telling her, I think God is calling me to do something else in life. And that was the beginning that I started, you know, I met with the founder of the ministry. I met with the other people in the ministry. Then I started the conversation. How can I work more and more for the ministry? I want to do something for God.
In the meantime, you had your full-time job.
Yes.
And you were making very good money.
I was in a very good position, yes.
Yeah, and so you started. What did your wife think about this idea?
She, I'm more like an impulsive person, something is inspiring me, I'll jump into it. She's the opposite, thank God. So she told me that, you know, wait for a few years, maybe spend time in prayer, let me also pray about it, you know, don't jump into it. So I waited for almost like 3-4 years or five years since then.
But you were still volunteering occasionally for them in that time frame?
Exactly. On weekends, Saturday and Sunday is the time that I help them with the music ministry, help them with the praise and worship. In the conferences, they do a lot of music ministry, praise and worship stuff. So I went there and helped them with that. Then also, they had a magazine called Shalom Tidings.
They still do, don't they?
They still do, right. Right.
I would highly suggest to you tell people right now, it's a wonderful magazine. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll get back to talking about you.
Yes.
The magazine, Shalom Tidings.
Shalom Tidings is Shalom's main publication. I don't know if I think we didn't talk about the history of Shalom. Shalom is a media ministry. Shalom Catholic media.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that. I just wanted, since we were talking about the magazine real quick, I just wanted to give the people an opportunity. Well, because maybe some people will pick us up later in the show. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure we mention the magazine a couple times during the show. So you started helping them out with the magazine. The magazine comes out how often?
How often? Bi-monthly, every other month.
Every other month. Mm-hmm. And how would somebody go about subscribing to get this delivered to them?
We do have a printed version. People can buy it and online. They can get this printed version of the magazine by mail. Or they can go online. We just started a new website. If you go to shalommedia.org,
right.
That's the main website. You can see publications, Shalom World TV, different things that we do. And under that shalommedia.org, we have a section called Shalom Tidings Magazine.
And that's where you can sign up to get a subscription if you want.
Right. And also you can go on and read online, too. We started an online version.
And it's reasonably priced, obviously. I mean, obviously you need some money to... That's one thing I've noticed about you all is, you run things on a shoestring. You let the Lord grace you with the tidings, so to speak, that you need to keep things going. But it's always by the skin of your teeth, and I'm hoping that this will help people know more about you, but certainly that you'll be able to get things going, because the work you do is truly amazing. So the magazine's been around for a while, and you started working with that and the music ministry, and when was it you knew you wanted to quit your job and take this on as an occupation for a fraction of the salary you were making in right. your previous job.
Right. Yes. So, magazine is Mike's one of the reasons that I wanted to join the ministry is that, you know, the ministry always seeks God's will. I mean, they pray, they spend time in prayer, especially the founder. Whenever it comes to the major decisions with the ministry, they spend time in prayer and ask the Lord, is this something that you want us to do? So once that discernment is done, once that God's will is discerned, and if it is God's will, you know, once they know that, they go for it. They don't look at the money, they don't look at the budget, they don't look at everything. For example, the magazine that you're talking about, we asked the Lord, the ministry asked the Lord, Lord, how do you want to start this ministry in the United States? So in 2005 and 2006, that time, that's when God inspired some people's heart. Let's start a magazine in English. Back in India, they had a language, they had a magazine in the Indian language, which has like 4 million, 5 million copies. So,
how far back does Shalom World go in India?
1989.
Okay.
1989.
So it was in India for about 15 years before it came here to the States.
It's 28 years now since we started the ministry in India.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Good. And the magazine is a beautiful magazine. You're not cutting corners on the printing. It's a good color magazine. You've got a lot of very interesting reading about different saints. Tell us a little bit more about the magazine, what it contains every month or every other month. I'm sorry.
We do choose different topics, like a theme for that magazine. For example, if you're talking about God's love, God's mercy, you know, God's forgiveness. So we choose different topics for that month. And we have a pool of resources. I mean, Shalom doesn't have writers, you know, internal writers. It's basically people out there. That's also one of the unique aspects of Shalom. We don't have people like, you know, every ministry has their own featured speakers and writers. But we go out to the people and say, hey, has God given you a talent to write? Has God given you the talent to sing? Has God given you the talent to interview other people? Whatever it is, we can use those. So for the magazine, we invite people. We invite articles. We invite basically articles from people. And people write to us, and there's a group of editors. They choose. They pray. They spend time in prayer and say that, okay, we can choose this one, this one, this one, and we choose those the articles for that issue from that pool of articles.
So it's really the people's magazine. It's God's magazine and the people's magazine, similar to what you've done with television.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't fancy myself a TV guy. And you guys are like, hey, let's go do this thing on Men of Christ up in Milwaukee. Fantastic
right.
conference.
Right.
Did that. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, let's, you know, Cardinal George, you know his friends. Why don't you talk to them and let's do a program on that? And I can back you up on saying you let the Lord do it, because you guys were busting my chops all the time about going over budget. No, I said, we need to interview this person. We need to interview that person. And you're like, well, you know, down in Texas, maybe they didn't know Cardinal George. So I was like, who is this guy that you want to spend all this time on? And you guys let me do what I did. And now that everybody's seen it, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you. So you lived in Philadelphia for a long time, so you're happy about the Super Bowl result, aren't you?
Yes, I'm so happy. Maybe more than me, my wife is extremely happy. She grew up in Philly her entire lifetime.
Uh-huh.
So she's a big fan of Philadelphia Eagles, yes.
So good for you.
Talk about Eagles in the Chicago area.
Well, that's okay, because this year the Bears are going to stomp them. Bears are going to come back this year. I've had that conversation with all my good Catholic friends up at Men of Christ. I actually got booed off the stage, booed on and off, because of mentioning the word bear. It just elicits like such I don't know what it does to the people up there, but it really gets them going. But like I said, we'll see what happens. No, Philly did a nice job, and that just means that anybody who puts in the work can get it done. And that's what you've done at Shalom World, is you're
yeah.
putting in the work.
Right.
You're always looking for people that are willing to come over and contribute to your organization, mm-hmm. no matter what line of work. Like, you've got Graziano, who's done radio in Chicago forever.
Right.
And did the Cardinal Show, works with Cardinal Supich as well a little bit. What is the next? We're going to be going to break. Nick's just giving me the break sign. So we're going to go into break. And when we come back, we'll continue with Jerry George from Shalom World Television.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change, to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
This is Mike Stark sitting in for Mary Helen Fiorito, who sits in for Father Anthony Bush on listener support WNDZ 750 AM Catholic Radio. We're here at St. Stanislaus Church, and it's Shark Week. And I just thought I'd remind everybody that for the whole week, there's a ton of good stuff on sharks on TV. So if you've got some time, check it out, because I think tonight Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Rodgers go swimming with the Sharks. Hopefully the Shark will get a hold of Aaron Rodgers and put him out for the season. I'm here with Jerry George from Shalom World Television, who is a good friend of mine, but also he's got a wonderful ministry, and he's given his life to the Lord, and basically he's getting paid very little to do what he's doing, but he's looking for the eternal reward, and we're just getting started on that. Jerry, fill the listeners in a little bit more on the history of Shalom World and the people that got it started and where you've taken it to this point, where you see it going in the future.
Right. A group of young people in 1989, back in southern India, in a small village in India, they came together, Catholic young people, they came together and prayed, Lord, you have filled my heart, our hearts, with your love. How can we spread this love with others? How can we share the peace of Christ that we all experience with other people? At that time, there was nothing in that village.
Well, I was going to ask you that also. What percentage of the people in India are Catholic? Because it's not a real Catholic area.
I think I would say 0.5%.
0.5. That means 99.5% are not Catholic.
Not Catholic.
Just to clarify.
Right. 3% in Christians, 3 to 4% Christians, and there's no real statistics because of the different issues with conversion and things like that. They don't want to talk about that in public.
Right, it's kind of like the amount of people that actually feel that Russia collusion story is important here in the United States right now.
Right.
Once in a while, I'll get a little political, but it's pretty much a blip on the radar. But you are taking this you guys decided, okay, we're going to take... Was there a threat to these people to do this in that country?
In some parts, yes. In some parts, it's not easy to identify as a Christian, because that's something like a... Yeah, it can be life-threatening situation in their life.
So they started that back in 1889. Continue.
Yes, they started as a small prayer group, and they started, what do you want us to do? Then they came up with this name, Shalom. People always ask me, I'm sure that you heard that question from people, like, how do you get the name Shalom? Are you a group of Jewish people?
When I first met you guys, I was at the Focus Conference in Nashville, and this is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and I was there with Truth and Life, and I had a table, and I was speaking, and somebody from your organization came up to me and wanted to talk to me and interview me. And he said he was from Shalom World. Now, I know EWTN, obviously, because Truth and Life, we're partners with EWTN. It's like, Shalom World. Oh, Jews for Jesus. Good to meet you. You know, like, kind of funny. And, you know, they're Indian. They're like, no, we're Indian, right. And we are charismatic Catholics, and we're all in. And right. I was just kind of like, okay, but, you know, I'd not heard of you, and a lot of people haven't to this point, and they're going to, because there's a lot of good stuff you're doing. But.
Right.
That's a misconception.
Right. So Shalom means peace. The
right.
word Shalom means peace. So the group of young people I'm talking about here, they discerned that in a lot of people's, you know, lot of lives, their families, their communities, that people don't have peace. You know, the restless situation in different stratas of life. So what they decided was, let's give the peace of Christ to the world. So that's what the name came up with, Shalom. Shalom means peace. So they started this ministry in 1989, and what they decided in that prayer meeting is they started a magazine, just like I said, Shalom Times. They named the magazine in that time Shalom Times. It's still known as Shalom Times in India. So the magazine, when the ministry came here in 2006-07 at that time, they started the magazine. They named the magazine Shalom Tidings. So it started with a small group prayer meeting. And Mike, the story is very fascinating. I just want to tell you that how they started the TV, Shalom World TV, back in India, is that they brought a broken TV in their prayer meeting one day, and they prayed together. Lord, we don't know how to start a television channel. We don't know how the technology works. We don't know how it works, but we want to start a television channel from this village for the whole world, for the entire country, for the whole world. And they put their hands on the broken TV and prayed together, Lord, we believe that you will be helping us. You will be giving your grace upon us to start a television channel. And 5 years later, they started a television channel from that village. That's the power of prayer. So that's what I was talking about you, about how the ministry depends on the grace of God. They trust in the Lord. They once they know that this is God's will, they go forward with that.
I thought you were going to tell me that the TV turned on to EWTN and they started watching.
No, it's called Shalom World TV.
So the TV never worked. They never get the TV to work.
No. Okay. You're talking about that
television.
TV.
That's okay. You're praying over the TV, you know.
Right.
Please help me.
No, help me,
Jesus. Bring this TV back.
Yeah.
It's all I've got.
Yeah.
So it started with a small group of people.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know what I find? So many of the good Catholic ministries, like Focus, mm-hmm. which is huge now, mm-hmm. just a few guys in Kansas sitting in an office, EWTN, Mother Angelica, mm-hmm. just like,
yes.
you know, deciding, I'm going to do this, and she just put it in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
People are putting, if you've got the faith,
mm-hmm.
you give it to God, and you see what God can do.
Dedication, commitment, and the will, I mean, once you have that hard work and dedication to something, with the grace of God, nothing is impossible, because, you know, God said to us, you know, when I am with you, nothing is impossible for you. You know, we always pray, we always remember the passage where Moses and the people of Israel, crossed the Red Sea. It was impossible. You know, it is impossible for them, but God's grace was with them, and they crossed the sea, and the Red Sea departed, you know, the whole story. So there are so many things in this ministry's life that was impossible, the money, people in the same thing with that in that village, it was impossible to start a television station there because nobody wants to move to that village. Nobody wants to work there. And all the technologists and the technicians are living in big major cities, right? So in that time, they started praying together. They said, Lord, we want to start a television channel. And somehow, for some odd reason, technicians, people started moving to that village.
It's a remote, small, remote village.
It's a small, remote village. At that time, when they prayed, there was no electricity at that time, in that village. So you can imagine how...
Well, that's why the TV didn't work. I bet it did work. If they just plugged it in, it might have worked.
Yeah.
So that's truly amazing.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're here, because I really have a lot of faith, and I'm amazed at the love everybody has. When I walk into the studio over there, just the way Donna greets you when you walk, she's just so happy and so blessed, and all the people you've got working there,
mm-hmm.
and the people you've been able to pull in. Like, you're dealing, you know, you've got Graziano Marcheschi, who's been working here in Chicago for a long time. I'm like, oh, you got Graz there, or Father Mike, or some of these
Mike,
other...
Father Mike Sparrow.
Michael Sparrow, yeah. Yeah, I guess I should have said Sparrow. And then you've got Anna Nuzzo.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna and I have been friends for some time now. She's an amazing voice talent, and she's sung in Rome. She's sung at Stockbridge. She's got some really good stuff going on. And when she told me she was working with you guys, mm-hmm. you just decided... here's somebody, and she's got, through the grace of God, got a beautiful voice and the time to lend it to help you guys put some programming together with her. What are the types of programming that you're trying to create to draw the interest? Because I know religious television can be boring. I mean, let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. It can be very boring. What can you do, or what are you planning to do to draw the average Joe that may not even be connected with a church, maybe Catholic, but you know how many disconnected people there are, disenfranchised. What are you going to do to invite them into your ministry?
That's a great question, Mike. I mean, I love that question because that is our prayer. That is our prayer daily. Lord, you allowed us to start a television channel in the English language for the whole English-speaking world in Australia, UK, Ireland, Canada, you name it, wherever people speak English. So you let us start this TV. So what do you want us to do to touch the hearts of the people? How can we inspire them? How can we share your love, your mercy, your forgiveness to them? That's our daily prayer. So to answer your question, yes, we look at the community where we serve. For example, we have three channels, one for Europe. We have a television channel for Europe. We have one television channel for Australia, which we recently launched 2 months ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so we have one in for the North American people, Canada, U.S., and
sure.
people here. So we look at that country, we look at that community, we look at that and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? So when you have that desire, when you have that prayer, Lord will be showing you some signs, some visible signs. You'll be talking to people. You'll be meeting with some people. And, for example, Carl and George documentary, right? We met. We talked about it. We moved the office studio from California to Chicago in 2016. That's when we became closer and we started our conversation. And through you, God started speaking to us, saying that, okay, there was a man. There was a cardinal of Chicago who lived here, who died here. He was a holy man. He is a holy man. So that conversation started. So we came up with this program called Glorious Lives. So that is something that people, when they watch his life, Cardinal George's legacy, when they watch it, they will be definitely touched and inspired. And I'm sure that the kids who are in the next generation will be watching him, will be looking up to him, his life, and they will also be inspired to become priests, holy priests, and bishop, and maybe, who knows, one day become a pope. So that is our way of sensing the Holy Spirit. We look at the people, we look at the community, and we ask the Lord, Lord, show me some signs.
One can only hope. And I agree with you that you were very open-minded to that. So you were down in Texas also before you came. You live in Texas now, but you went down there. So the headquarters are in Texas, but you had an office in California. But you moved to Chicago because you wanted to be more centralized?
Yes, yes. We had an office and studio, a big production studio in California, Sacramento, California.
Mm-hmm.
We ran that operation for almost 2 years. then, you know, people from New York, people, you know, we bring people from different parts of the country. And sometimes it's very difficult for them to fly to California. So at that time, you know, we were asking the Lord, Lord, this is something that we don't want us to continue. Then we got a visible sign, again, a visible sign to stop the operation there in California and move to a place, something like Chicago. A person here, a donor, a supporter here in Chicago, found a place at that time, that perfect timing, found a place in Arlington Heights, Chicago, and it was a perfect place. So we started the studio in 2016.
And that was your visible sign, that you had a donor that said, come to Chicago.
And said that there's an office here, there's a studio of space here. Are you interested? So the, my big boss came and looked at it.
Big boss?
Yes.
How much does he weigh? We will be right back after this break on WNDZ 750 AM Catholic Radio.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Alethea. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit, because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Inspector Clouseau in for, no, this is Mike Stark, and I'm in for Mary Helen Fiorito, who's in for Father Anthony Bush on listener support WNDZ 750 AM Catholic Radio Chicago. I am speaking with the wonderful Jerry George from Shalom World Television, and we're talking about the wonderful work they do in bringing faith to people and the sacrifices that these people have made, including Jerry, who left a very high-paying job to give his life to Christ, and he was doing it, but then he did it. He was all in when Jesus told a rich man to, you know, give everything up and go work with him, and he couldn't. He went away sad. Well, Jerry didn't go away sad. Jerry came and said, "Yes, Lord, I'm here to serve." I'll leave it to Jerry to continue from there.
Hey, Mike, I just want to say it's not just me. There are so many other people in this ministry who took some kind of same decision in their life. They had great, wonderful opportunities and jobs in their life, and they heard about the call within their call, and they responded to this. That's why I can tell you that there are many people in this ministry, maybe working harder than me, and you know, dedicated their life for this ministry. That's why it's really growing. I mean, like I said, the dedication, the commitment, the hard work that they are putting into this ministry with the support of prayer. That's what this is really blossoming. Like I said, there are three channels now. We started with one English channel from the U.S. Now we started another one in Europe. Then recently, 2 months ago, in Australia. So as we speak now, they are in Australia, and I believe it's in Brisbane, Australia. They are recording a program called Real Men, basically targeting the men audience. How can we live a Christian life as a real man? That's what their program, they're right now recording as we speak.
Fantastic. I have a couple connections down there you might want to connect with as well. Through the Truth in Life, obviously, I've met people all over the world, and I know a couple people down there in Australia that are big, I would say, like the Ignatius Press of Australia, Mike. So fantastic. Well, yeah. We'll connect you with them, and that's fantastic that you're doing that. And, you know, maybe get Matthew Kelly to do a little bit for you as well, or at least do a commercial for you, mm-hmm. since he's from Australia.
We did a program with Alan Ames. I don't know if you heard about that name. Alan Ames is the person who got a lot of visions, church-approved visions, and he wrote a book called Through the Eyes of Jesus. It's a very famous book called Through the Eyes of Jesus. So we, based on that book, we did a program with Alan Ames. He's an Australian guy.
I was hoping he was Australian.
He was in Chicago a couple of months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, different parishes, yes.
Well, that's good. And if it wasn't famous, now it is, because you've told all the millions of listeners out there of our station about this. So let's get back to what you're doing, what types of programs you've developed, and where you're going with that. I know you've got a Sing for Him, mm-hmm. which is Anna's show.
Right.
And just take it from there.
It's a beautiful, beautiful program, and I appreciate Anna, what she's doing. You know, she's been traveling to different parishes in the Chicago area. Because the reason why I say Chicago area is our studio is in Chicago. Our television studio, the only studio right now for the U.S., is in Chicago. So what we are doing is when we go to a place, in this case Chicago, we go out and reach out to communities and parishes and people. So we did a series of, I think we have done almost 12 Sing for Him program, which is basically featuring the choir, the church choir. So we go to different churches and we bring their beautiful choir, their performance through this program called Sing for Him.
And that's a musical show?
That's a musical program.
But you're also delving into what some of these people's lives are like, aside from practicing and getting ready for their big time in the church with their choir.
Absolutely. There must be a reason why the choir director is spending time with the choir. There's a reason why a young girl, 23 years old, right after college, she's joining a choir. There's a reason. They could have been somewhere else, but they are dedicating their time on maybe Friday. They have practice, a rehearsal. On Saturday, they come there and spend time. Why? That's what we are bringing that story through this program.
And another program, I think probably the first program I saw from you guys when you guys brought me in to talk, and you showed me the program of the family that was in the van accident.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit. Those are local people, and they're coming back from, I believe, Pennsylvania, or where they're coming back from, and on the turnpike, and they got in a tragic accident, and just where people were.
That's exactly.
People died?
Yes, yes.
As well as the girl lost her eyesight.
Right. There's a.
She talked about her blessings.
Yes, yes.
After losing her eyesight, where most people would be.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck, God? I mean, why me?
In that horrible, terrible accident, she was, I believe, she was 19 years old. She lost the sight. She became completely blind for a lifetime. And she is saying that I don't see anything with my eyes, but I can see the Lord is with me. I can, through my inner eyes, that, you know, He is blessing me in different ways. I'm looking forward to that eternal life with Him there. I can see Him forever. See, that's the faith that in that tragedy. So I just wanted to bring a point here that, you know, one thing that we noticed in our community, in everywhere, it doesn't matter in the U.S. or everywhere in the world, a lot of people are living in a desperate situation. In other words, hopeless situation. So how can we bring this hope? God is all about hope. You know, we want to be hopeful people. So we want to bring that hope through our program. So this program that you're talking about here is called Triumph. Triumph is people who got setbacks in their life, you know, challenges, difficulties in their life, like a tragedy or something, how they live in that faith even when they have challenges and difficulties, or how they overcame those difficulties in their life and they became this lady. At the age of 40, she was a full-time mom, and her husband had some kind of trauma like some kind of stroke, and he became completely paralyzed. And she didn't know what to do because she was full-time mom all the time, housewife. So she studied at the age of 40, and she became one of the top persons in the U.S. Army. And when she was retiring, she was one of the top people in the U.S. Army, and she took care of 7 children by working in the U.S. Army and moving to different places like Afghanistan, Iraq, and different places in the U.S. So that's the life that Bria brings.
As well as taking care of her husband.
Husband, yes, yes. yeah.
Which was probably the biggest challenge. I mean, if you've got young kids, that's one thing, but at a certain age, the kids become a little more self-sufficient. You can have the older kids. But she not only was taking care of the 7 kids and her husband, but she decided to extend her education and take it to the next level, hence the name Triumph.
Triumph.
What other shows do you have, Jer?
We also noticed something like, a lot of people are carrying hurts or wounds in their heart, like some kind of unforgiveness, you know, different issues that we thought about. You know, we have to bring the real stories of people where they forgave. So we came up with a name called 70 times 7, because Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times? And Jesus said, 70 times 7 you have to forgive. In other words, you have to be unconditionally forgiving other people. So we came up with that name 70 times. So we are bringing stories of forgiveness. We recently did a powerful story from this lady, Immaculée. Her name is Immaculée. She's from Africa. I hope you remember the Rwanda genocide.
Sure.
So millions of people were slaughtered at that time.
Right.
So her parents, her brothers, all her siblings were killed by people in the opposite tribe, in the tribe. So
the tribe with the weapons.
Right. So she had to hide in one of the bathrooms in their house for 30 days, 30 to 40 days. And she came to know that these people killed her own parents. So she wrote a beautiful book, actually, Left to Tell. And she talked about how she forgave the people. She actually met the person who killed her parents face to face, and how she forgave that man who killed their parents. So it's a powerful story. So she's right now in New York. She's settled in New York. She travels all around the country, Immaculée.
I've heard of her, yeah. They spoke about her because the bishop from over there came over here to Men of Christ.
Right. And in Chicago, we got a story, powerful story. Barbara Manji, her daughter was killed by her boyfriend in Chicago. She lives in Chicago. So she was murdered, and how she forgave her daughter's boyfriend. That's also a powerful story that happened here in Chicago. So we bring those kind of forgiveness, stories of forgiveness through this kind of program.
It's something we need to really focus on, because a lot of times you don't know what you did, but somebody's holding that in them, the anger towards you. You might have done something small, but I'm the one who's walking around with that anger inside me. I'm mad at Jerry for blah, blah, blah. And you don't know. You'd be like, hey, Mike, how's it going? I'm like, good, good. Mm-hmm, inside, I'm like, that son of a gun, Jerry did this. And until you are ready to let go, it's the person that was offended that has to let go of it, because many times the offender isn't even aware that they offended somebody. And for this boyfriend who killed this woman's daughter, that's really something to let go of, because especially in today's times, I mean, she lost her young daughter.
Absolutely.
What else is on your program schedule?
We are 100% Catholic. It's a Catholic TV, but we have a vision for all people. In other words, we are not focusing on just Catholics. Our programs are completely diverse. And in other words, how can we bring people to God? How can we bring people to Christ? He or she may not be a Catholic. He may be an atheist. And I mean, people don't believe in God. So what we did is we came up with a program called Jesus, My Savior. In other words, people who know nothing about Jesus, people who know nothing about God, this program called Jesus My Savior can attract those people. I'll tell you a real story. We have Eucharistic adoration every day on our channel. Like, we have a Blessed Sacrament, a priest exposes the Blessed Sacrament, and we pray for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. The priest or the deacon or whoever is doing a reflection about the blessed, about the life, and also pray to God in the Blessed Sacrament. One day, a person who didn't know anything about Catholic faith, who didn't know anything about our faith, wrote to us, "I don't know that white thing, white round thing. I turned your TV on one day accidentally, and I saw a white round thing in that thing. I don't know what it is. I pray. I look at it and pray, and I get a lot of peace in my life. When I go to bed at night after watching this program, after this watching this prayer, I get peace." So he's a Hindu man, is a Hindu priest, some kind of priest, I believe. He didn't know anything about Catholic faith, was touched by that program, that prayer. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say is that we are not just focusing on Catholic people, but our attention, our focus is on all people. All people means people of all religions, people of all faith, people of all categories, you can imagine.
That's wonderful. And as we go into the break, why don't we take that into prayer with us, that more people could be converted to Jesus? And we'll be right back after this break.
Floors as low.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys. Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up, $3 cover for those 3 through 13, $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Ah, yes, the wonderful Henry Mancini, the Peter Gunn theme. This is Mike Stark sitting in for Mary Helen Fiorito, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. There's a lot of sit-ins here, but not like in the 60s. This is a good sit-in, and I'm sitting in with the director of programming from Shalom World Television, Jerry George, and we are talking about their wonderful programs that hopefully you'll want to sit in and watch.
Yes. We do have a few more programs, Mike. I just wanted to quickly mention those programs. Vocare.
So that's Vocare,
Vocare is promoting vocations. So we go to priests and also nuns, and we film their story.
It's almost like a song. Vocare.
Vocare, yes.
And last week we had Carl Amare on the show.
Yes.
So Vocare, which
then
is a show.
We have Mary, My Mother, which is basically, we have a great devotion to our Blessed Mother. I can tell you hundreds of stories that, you know, how Blessed Mother interceded for us, intervened in our ministry. Quickly,
the
magazine that we started in India, for 6-7 months there was no subscription at all. I mean, this was a very good magazine, full color, glossy paper. They spent a lot of money. Nothing happened in 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. Nothing happened. So what they did is, on the inside cover page of that magazine, after 7 months, they put a small prayer to the Blessed Mother. Blessed Mother, we consecrate this magazine to your Immaculate Heart. Pray for us and pray for the whole world. We want to dedicate this magazine to you. From that point onward, Mike, it was maybe like less than 10,000 subscriptions at that time, from 10,000 to 20,000 to 50,000 to 100,000 in an year, the subscription went to almost 500,000, that number, because of that prayer.
And you do not accept any advertisements in the magazine either, correct?
We do not, yes.
So you are solely listener-supported, like we're listener-supported. Your magazine is reader-supported.
We got a lot of donations and ads from people saying that if you put our ad, for example, diamonds and different types of ads, if you put it, we can definitely support you with a lot of money. But as a ministry, the founder and the core group of the ministry decided not to go with any kind of ad on magazine, on TV, nothing. You can see you can see no ads anywhere on our publications or TV, because that's the decision, the major decision that came up with.
Which are the readers like? I mean, I know the magazine, it's a good sized magazine. Is it 32 or so pages? And depending, you might be 36 pages, 40 pages, but the point is that it is all content, and so many people these days are quick to sell their magazines or whatever, and it's a 50-50 blend of, or even worse in some cases, of ads to content. So that's very good.
Yeah.
And obviously, I want to say that when I am around the people in your office, when I come to the office, I do feel that devotion to Mary and in the faith you've put in her and in her son to make things happen for you and.
We have a chapel in this in the office in Chicago, and from 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. for an hour every day, no matter where you are, in the McAllen office, in Texas office, in Chicago, in Australia, wherever you are, that's part of the work schedule. 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. 1 hour prayer. We completely dedicate that.
So don't call me at 9:45. Call me at 10:01.
Yes, exactly. No one is going to pick up the phone at that time.
So you should have that in the outgoing message. What are your future plans? We just finished this wonderful documentary on Cardinal George, and I just remember when we started, we did Archbishop Listecki, and he wasn't really aware of who you were. He's like, well, he knew me. And he's like, oh, sure, I'll do an interview with you, Mike. Who are these people? And I remember him asking you, because you asked him to make a comment about Shalom World Television. He's like, well, I don't even know who you are. What are you talking about? And you showed him a little video and explained a little bit about, in a nutshell, who you are. But you already had endorsements from Cardinal George, from Cardinal Dolan, Bishop Barron. You've already got some of the biggest people in the church that support your ministry. And I will just say this, and I'll let you go with it. The work that you guys have done on the Cardinal George documentary and some of the other programs we did, one on the Little Sisters of the Poor, which is fantastic, by the way, folks. I think it's 24 minutes, no commercials. And it kind of tells you who the Little Sisters of the Poor are from a Chicago perspective. And basically, it's all them talking. We didn't have Mike Stark in front of the microphone asking questions. We had Sister Pauline talking about who they are, and some of the residents talking about what a wonderful ministry Little Sisters of the Poor has. But your work is like National Geographic. Mm-hmm. It's like the quality of the cinematography is off the charts. It's not your basic. I'm blown away by how fantastic it is. The work you did with the Cardinal George program, I am so excited to share this with everybody. It's like, when's it coming out? People are asking me. Cardinal Supic asked me last week, when's it coming out? And I said, well, it'll be out. We got to wait for the seminarians to come back. But there's a building excitement. A lot of people don't know it's coming out, but those that do are excited. But the quality, the sheer beautiful, you know, content that you've put into this on top of the interviews with these people that knew him.
Yeah.
So the snowflakes and the kids playing the Cardinal and his sister when they were young,
right. And
the old-time radio. You've used everything to make this a complete production. Great work.
Let me quote the founder of this ministry. His name is Benny. When you do something for the Lord, do the best. When you do something for God, do the best. Don't compromise the quality. So yes, we have dedicated people. We have people who are, you know, spending a lot of time for this ministry, hard work, prayer. It's all there. But also, I just want to say we have a wonderful group of people, like talented people. So when we hire people, when we go and look for people, we look for two things. Their skills, for example, if you're a producer, if you're a cameraman, if you're an editor, we look for the best. You know, they have to be really skilled. That is there. Of course, then they should know the faith, you know, a little bit. So it's a very tough situation, because to find that combination of skill and the prayer life and the faith life, it is sometimes it's tough. Because so when you ask me what is next, we are looking for producers. We're looking for camera people for Chicago office. We're looking for more, because we want to do more shows. We want to do more, produce more programs. So we definitely need help with finding producers and cameramen. So if you know somebody out there, I'm inviting all of you to send your resume. You know, you can call us. Our number is 215-366-3031. That's our main office number in Texas. That is, again, 215-366-3031. Or you can send us an email saying info@shalomworld.org. info@shalomworld.org. Send us a resume if you know somebody, or if you want to refer somebody, just let us know.
Even if you're the person yourself, if you've got something to offer. I remember recently I was in your office and you had an old newsman doing a show with you. And, I mean, he looked like a newsman. I didn't know he was, but he just presented himself well. And he was there with his wife, and you're doing some news programs as well, correct?
Yeah, God provides. Yes, we are starting a program called Shalom World News, which is basically a weekly news program from the Vatican, because we have an office in the Vatican. We have an office in UK. We have an office in Ireland, Dublin, Ireland. We will be covering the World Meeting of Families coming up in August. We will be covering the Eucharistic Congress that's happening after 110 years in UK, in London, UK. We will be covering that in October. So we will be covering the World Youth Day, which is happening end of this year. So we'll be covering the Focus Ministry C Conference. That's going to happen end of this year. So many things we cover, you know, not only just programs, but we cover high-profile conferences.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. Like I said, I met you at Focus, and I mean, you are covering the basis, and the extent to which you do it is off the charts. It's great content. But you've got a news program, and you're also working on some other programs. What other kind of ideas do you have in the works for what you might come with? Any sports program possibilities or anything else you're looking to do?
Not particularly any sports programs, but rather we'll be bringing sports personalities if they want to share some faith. Like, for example, you know definitely for sure is Father Burke Masters, right?
Yep.
It's a Chicago Cubs chaplain. So he has something to tell us about his faith. So definitely we'll be bringing those kind of stories.
Okay. Very good. Jerry, it's been an honor to have you. ShalomWorld.org, info@ShalomWorld.org if you want to help out. Thank you again. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.